The Obama administration has spent much of the past 4 years dealing with global emergencies, including the worldwide economic crisis, the ending of U.S. military engagement in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the fight against terrorism. Many Africa watchers complain that in this environment, the administration has not paid enough attention to sub-Saharan Africa. J. Peter Pham is the director of the Michael S. Ansari Africa Center at the nonpartisan Atlantic Council in Washington, D.C.
There's a bit of disappointment. The president himself has not been so engaged that in sub-Saharan Africa, he showed up one time in Ghana during his first year of office for a little more than 19 hours to deliver one speech. And there has not been consistent follow-up engagement at that very highest of levels. The administration took almost 3 years to appoint an assistant administrator of the U.S. Agency for International Development for Africa. An Africa strategy was only released this past June. So there's a sense that perhaps there's not been as much engagement. Policy has not changed. The Secretary of State has certainly been engaged, but at the very highest levels, the White House perhaps has not been as engaged as it has been in previous administrations.
Pham says one administration success in Africa was in helping to facilitate the peaceful creation of the new nation of South Sudan. This after decades of fighting between Sudan's predominantly Muslim North and Christian and animist South. But he says more needs to be done.
No one has really pushed the door open for American business. It's ironic that the American government and the American people helped bring about South Sudan's independence, but the resources there are being tapped by the Chinese and others.
Analysts say they'd like to see more emphasis on democratization and human rights in countries with close ties to the U.S. Some cite countries that are doing well economically but remain authoritarian, like Ethiopia and Rwanda. Others say the U.S. must continue its efforts to prevent the spread of Islamic extremism in the Maghreb and other parts of sub-Saharan Africa. Pham says more resources are needed for the U.S. African Command, or AFRICOM, a cooperative effort to help allied African forces deal with regional crises, from terrorist attacks to peacekeeping and other emergencies. Other observers, including South African analyst Hussein Solomon, say the continent's own security efforts need to be strengthened through the African Union. Solomon is a senior professor in the Department of Political Studies and Governance at the University of the Free State in South Africa.
The U.S. engagement cannot and should not be just one of drone strikes as we see in Somalia. It needs to be a radical strengthening of African Union structures. One thing which is very clear to me when looking at the situation in Mali, for example, is the fact that the African standby force, which is supposed to be ready and going into African crises, African solutions for African problems and all of that stuff, is very much a paper tiger. I think what would be very useful is to actually really build capacity in terms of the African standby force and the sub-regional standby arrangements.
Many say the United States must also increase investments in Africa, where growth rates remain strong, thanks in part to the export of petroleum and other raw materials. Some are concerned that China has already surpassed the U.S. as Africa's largest trading partner. They say some African governments prefer China's approach to development, which does not link trade or aid to human rights or efforts to fight corruption. Solomon disagrees. He says the Chinese model, built on a strong authoritarian and one-party state, was tried in Africa after independence and failed.
The reality is that amongst the ordinary people, they actually resent that. I spoke to academics, I spoke to workers, I spoke to people owning little shops who are being, there is extortion by the police, there is corruption, etc., etc. They would love the government to be accountable in terms of good governance, etc., etc., and not follow the Chinese model. So yes, political elites love the Chinese model because they can frankly get away with murder, but in terms of ordinary Africans, they do not buy into the Chinese model.
Solomon hopes the U.S. and China can work together to help develop Africa and not return to Cold War politics. saying it would not benefit fragile African states to have to choose sides in another competition between global powers.
I think it's imperative that we don't see a repeat of the 1960s, 70s, and 80s in terms of the Cold War politics between Washington and Moscow, now being Washington and Beijing, meaning that I think it's imperative that the U.S. and China agree on some path of consensus in terms of how they engage with the African continent. And the reason I say this is because while there have been tremendous strides in terms of democracy on the African continent, I don't believe it is sustainable. I think that the African state is fundamentally fragile and will not deal very well with tensions in terms of being pro-U.S. or being pro-China.
J. Peter Pham says American businesses can provide the United States with a competitive edge. He says Walmart has invested more than $2.4 billion in South Africa, more than the U.S. government's financial support to the country over the past 10 years. And he says Chevron has signed an agreement to spend $500 million developing Sierra Leone's offshore energy reserves. That's more, he says, than the U.S. government's Millennium Challenge Corporation would provide if the country were accepted as a partner. Obama administration supporters defend U.S. Africa policy, though they agree that global crises have certainly taken media attention away from the president's efforts. Richard Joseph is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institute's Global Economy and Development Program. He says the administration has not received enough credit for encouraging peaceful transfers of power in Ivory Coast, Nigeria, Senegal, and Malawi. Constitutional government was restored in Niger and introduced in Guinea. The administration has also worked with partners to counter the Lord's Resistance Army in East Africa and Islamic extremists in Somalia and Mali.
Maybe one of the problems is, in fact, the people who work on these things on a day-by-day basis, you know, all the special envoys and so on, all of them that take place, that, in fact, they have not been very good at telling the story of what goes on. And maybe the journalists have not been themselves been good enough at telling that story. But I can tell you there's a story there to be told because, you know, I have sometimes, you know, been brought in on some of these consultations. And this administration, with regard to Africa policy, is the most open to input from the scholarly and expert community as ever.
Joseph suggests the White House convene a conference on Africa following the example set by President Bill Clinton nearly 20 years ago.
President Obama could well consider convening a high-level roundtable on Africa, calling together the Africa experts, and that roundtable should have some really clear mission. They basically, prior to it, say, okay, you know, you all prepare for me, you know, a series of very, you know, clear position papers on what you'd like to see the administration doing. And then having President Obama, devote a substantial part of a day actually meeting with people and talking about that, and having that be the prelude for his second visit as president early in his term, but to more countries.
Joseph agrees that President Obama does not have so far a high-profile or signature program in Africa, though he has maintained support for well-known efforts initiated by his predecessors. They include the president's emergency plan for AIDS relief, the president's malaria initiative, and the African Growth and Opportunity Act, which has increased Africa's non-petroleum exports to the United States to over $5 billion. The Millennium Challenge Corporation has spent over $1 billion over the past 3 years on developing those countries with strong economic and political management. The administration says its focus is on strengthening democratic institutions, fostering broad-based economic growth with trade and investment, improving public health, resolving armed conflict, and addressing transnational threats and challenges. The administration has introduced many new initiatives, including Feed the Future, which aims to make Africa self-sufficient in food production. So far, it has helped over 2 million people, in part by creating school feeding programs for Tanzanian children, investing in public-private partnerships in Ghana, and helping Ethiopian farmers obtain landholding certificates. Another program, Partnership for Growth, is helping to create investor-friendly environments and private sector growth in countries that could soon be added to a growing list of emerging markets, including Ghana and Tanzania. Meanwhile, the New Alliance for Food Security and Nutrition is using private-public partnerships in an effort to move tens of millions of small farmers and women out of poverty within 10 years. Joseph and other administration supporters acknowledge that many of these programs are just gaining momentum, and more time is needed before their impact is determined. But they say these efforts may well define the Obama administration for future generations. I'm William Eagle in Washington.